the same kind of thing.
Now, this is about 2 hours.
That's fine.
And we do some hills, you don't mind that. Okay, it's not a bad hill. We're just going to walk to one of the steeper parts of town.
Deb Rudis is our volunteer tour guide on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon in late August. The walk starts at the visitor's information booth near the downtown library.
So we're going to go to the library parking garage mural over here first. So if you follow me.
On the tour with me is Cornelia Sackle. She's the publisher of Art Times, an online arts journal based near Woodstock, New York.
So I'm thrilled to see the activity that goes on here in Juneau, and that's what I'll be writing about in Art Times online. Then I'll be blogging about it as well.
We look at Dan Drew's mural and con on the water side of the downtown parking garage. Then we head into the library to see Bruce Elliott's Transfiguration, the stained glass that shows salmon changing into Tlingit figures. My first surprise is in the library's children's section. There's a floor-to-ceiling painting by Jane Terzis and Dan Drew of a mountain meadow filled with storybook and fairy tale characters.
But every time I look at it, I see another figure, like, oh, that's who that is. Or, you know, I didn't recognize the Cheshire cat the first time when I was looking at it. And there's the cat that jumped over the moon. I mean, it's just cute.
Oh, and of course it is. What's her name?
Mary Poppins.
At the library's front desk, we admire Steve Brown's wood bear panel carving. Outside, as the tour continues, I realize downtown Juneau is really dense with art. There's the Patsy Ann sculpture on the waterfront, Ray Peck's metal wall sculpture depicting traditional and modern ways of fishing, a mural at the Taqueria, the near life-size bronze sculpture, a Hard Rock Miner in Marine Park, and lots more.
And I think this is one of my favorite pieces of public art in Juneau.
Rudis directs our attention to the mural on City Hall.
And it's the raven, the trickster, opening the clamshell, which released man, and then it's the Tlingit representation of all the different wildlife species that are the dominant clan symbols. The bear, the frog, the eagle, the orca, and the wolf.
The tour winds through town, stopping at studios and galleries where we can speak with artists at work. Sackle chats with artists like Rico Wuerl, M.K. McNaughton, and Lily Hope. Sackle takes notes diligently, and I ask her what her headline might be.
It's not just about fishing. So it's very much that story of being drawn to an area because it's so rich in the arts, because it's so rich in culture and beauty and outdoor life. So what if you have to get here by plane?
Sackle's been publishing the Arts Journal for over 30 years and has written widely about the arts. I ask her if she noticed anything unique about the Juneau scene.
I like seeing the indigenous culture so vibrant and apparent. You wouldn't see that where I am. I mean, I'm not too far from Woodstock, New York. People are dressed in all sorts of ways and shops and there's no real indigenous anything. Or in New York City, I don't see that there's a presentation of hundreds of different peoples. But here you really see it's narrowed down. And so it becomes much more obvious and exciting and makes me want to know more.
We climb up through town, check in at the canvas, visit the empty chair memorial in Capitol Park, and admire the old witch totem in the state office building. This day, our art tour with Rudis ends looking at Nimbus.
And it's kind of like an iceberg in some ways, and it's kind of like a glacier in some ways. And, you know, I think it pretty much captures the feel of Alaska. It's raw and it's different.
The tour isn't a deep dive into Juneau's art history. Rudis says it's a cursory introduction, a good fit for cruise ship visitors. It's available through September, costs $20 per person, and runs at 1 p.m. Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays. In Juneau, I'm Scott Burton.